I don't know how he got it up that fast, but man, that was wicked. Swings it in front. Pinto throws it to net. Scores! Bounces off a body and in. 2-1 Ottawa. Connor Brown low to the corner. Centering pass. Tierney scores! Back-to-back power play goals. Here's Radulov. Cross ice to the line. Gets it back from Ben Pett. Saved by Gustafson.
I have it.
He breaks Radulov's heart with that one.
TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. 8:15 here on a Monday morning with JR, Simmer, and Hammer. Highlights from last night's only game in the NHL. You can tell how much American teams don't want to play at home on Sundays in the fall when football's going on. When we got one 5 p.m. game, and it's in Ottawa. Dallas Stars, and I'm sure they had a huge number of viewers in Dallas because there's nothing else going on at 5.
No,
you know,
that's the confidence of the Stars. We're going to go head-to-head, and we're bringing the Sens in with us.
Yeah, exactly. Ottawa wins at 3-2, so the Sens are off to a very tidy 2-1 start. Day off today, back at practice tomorrow, and next game Thursday when Erik Karlsson and the San Jose Sharks come to town. As the homestand continues, Ottawa plays against Saturday afternoon against the Rangers. And then 1 week from tonight, it's a Monday night home game versus Alexander Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals. Joining us right now to wrap up a busy hockey weekend, we welcome our TSN Hockey Insider, a presentation of Myers Automotive Group. We say hello and good morning to Dave Poulin. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
Very well, gentlemen. I just gave Matt the full weather report from Toronto because you're going to be getting it in a few hours, and the sun is trying to break through here. So that's good news for you guys for the start of the week.
Yeah, beautiful. Sounds like Dave Poulin has a morning golf game scheduled then.
He does not. There's too much going on right now. You know, it's interesting. I love the game, but I can't be distracted, and there's just too much going on. I have a full week. I have a couple games in Montreal. I won back here on Friday in Toronto, and then heading west, actually, next week to San Jose, LA, and Anaheim. Oh. So it's a busy, busy stretch coming up.
Okay. All right. Well, say good morning to a sleepy Dave Poulin next week. All right.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Let's get your thoughts on yesterday's Sens win, 3-2 over Dallas. DJ Smith called it after the game, big boy hockey. Dallas is a big, strong team, and he thought his team went toe-to-toe with the Dallas Stars yesterday. What were your thoughts overall on the game?
Let's talk about the way the game started, guys. Talk about catching everyone off guard. Jamie Benn and Josh Brown, big boy hockey. Like, where did that come from? And what you immediately think is, okay, you know, I've seen a fight like that where I said to the guy on my team, what happened there? And he said, oh, you know, I've been waiting like 5 years for that. That guy really bugged me in junior one night, and I was a rookie, and he was a veteran. And, you know, I've been waiting a long time for that. But I don't know if there is a history between those two guys, but it certainly looked like Ben came out sending a message, and that's a tough guy that Josh Brown took on there. And that was a real fight. That wasn't like, you know, I mean, we're just going to push each other here. So it started that way, and I loved the response from Ottawa when Dallas went up 1-0. And if I look at the three games so far, they've all been a little bit different. You know, they start in their first game and they're up 3-0, and then they hold on to a lead against a very talented offensive hockey team. And in the second game, they get down 2-0 and they come back to 2-1, and then Batherson actually scores that goal. It's offside by millimeters, and you know, but they push back hard. And then last night Dallas scores and they score less than a minute later. Nick Paul ties it up. So I think three different types of wins, and that's what you want with a young team, are reference points. So when you're in a game that's similar to that, when you're down by a couple, when you're up by a couple, when you're holding on by, you know, even when Pavelski scores that goal and it's like, okay, here we go, button down. Because at that point, guys, in the studio, James Duthie and Cheryl Pounder and I have built, you know, our final piece at 3-1. And, okay, if the game ends this way, this is what we're going to do. And then Pavelski scores, and we all sort of look at each other because now you've cut highlights, you're forming the story, and you're saying, okay, let's see how they do and if they can hold on. And really impressed by the way that they've held leads in both of their wins.
How impressed, Pooley, with the goaltending? Because last start of last season, that was the whole theme. It was bad goals early on, mostly Matt Murray, but so far Forsberg, and yesterday Gus Sabus looked outstanding.
I think it was the major story coming in for this club, Simmer. And, you know, everybody referred to, you know, I can go back to an exact moment last year. I believe they were like 2-12-1 when they won a game in Winnipeg on a Saturday night, I believe. And then the rest of the year, they were pretty good. And, you know, you couldn't have that start again. So what was the focal point through that start last year, the 2-12-1 start? And it was goaltending and the lack of a big save. And as this team continues to grow, that was a question that loomed, because that was something they thought they'd addressed with Matt Murray. And they hadn't addressed it, you know, through the early part of last season. But I have been so impressed with Forsberg and Gustafson. I know we discussed in the show, you know, Gustafson had a real good camp. And in a lot of situations, he could have very well been the backup goalie. But he was the one that didn't need waivers, so you could send him down to Belleville and keep the three intact. And Forsberg, through his first two games, has been terrific. And even looking at the first two goals that Toronto scored on him, you know, he's not at fault on those goals. I don't, you know, I mean, I'm pretty critical of goalies, but I don't think he's at fault on either one of those two goals. And, you know, and then he was really strong at critical moments. And Gustafson comes in last night and, you know, key points of the game, huge save on Radulov in the third period, but just really good and steady. And I think the team feels that. You know, I think with a young team, and I've always thought this, that a goaltender can help teach a team how to win. That, you know, if you've got a guy that you truly believe in and you get up by a goal, you're like, well, we know he's not going to give anything up. And I think it's such a huge component of a young team. And right now, you know, it, albeit a very small sample size and early in the year, both guys have shown reasons for a lot of encouragement.
DJ Smith will have a decision to make on when to put Matt Murray in, presumably perhaps as early as a Thursday. Another decision that will come Thursday with Brady Tkachuk. He said he's going to play, barring a physical setback in practice this week. He's going to play. He's going to go right back in his normal spot with Norris and Batherson. He loves his so-called identity line as a checking line of Brown, Paul, and Pinto, and that leaves kind of the odd man out, as it were, as Timmy Stützle. What do you think the coach should or will do with Tim Stützle as far as kind of lining him up with certain line mates?
Well, it's a nice problem to have, but I do think, you know, you've got the Tierney option, Chris Tierney, who's skating very well right now. You've got him as an option for Stützle, but I still think that Stützle potentially goes right back to Pinto and Connor Brown. I think you need him on the ice with Connor Brown because of the ability of Connor Brown to get him the puck. And, you know, Stützle is at an interesting stage of his career because in the environment he grew up in, he's been the guy since he was, what, I don't even know, like 8 years old. He's been the best player, not only arguably on his team, but also in his league and in his city and in his country. It's a weird thing to put on a kid. And all the way up, and you watch him. We've discussed him quite a bit internally amongst our group as to what he's going to be and what he is, because he's a guy capable of doing it individually. But I really think he's learning how to use the other people on the ice and that there are options and that, you know, that every single time you give Thomas Chabot the puck, there's a chance for a give and go, or that, you know, when you give it to Connor Brown, you know, you're going to get it back. I think he does fit with Pinto and Connor Brown from where I sit. And then, you know, as ideal as you think Nick Paul is there, and Nick Paul had a terrific game yesterday, that you build Paul and Tierney, you know, as part of that third line equation. I mean, that's, for me, I've got to give Timmy Stützle as offensive a player as I can, and arguably that's Connor Brown and the upside of Shane Pinto.
Early on, do you think Stützle's forcing it a bit, Pooley, and maybe should take the puck wide versus trying to beat everybody in the middle?
I do, but that's a good problem to have once again, because he's got to figure out what his parameters are, because he can beat guys in the middle, Simmer, and he's going to be able to in this league. And you watch him, and you watch him for a few minutes, and then he'll do something, one thing with his hands, and you're like, wow. And so, he's such a young guy, but he's got to figure out, you know, how good these guys are around him, both on his side offensively and what he's competed against defensively. And I still think it's new for him, as crazy as that is to sound, but it might be new for a continued time here. And I just see so much there in what those hands do and what that head does. And I think the upside for Timmy Stützle is still immense.
I'm sure it was super tempting for DJ Smith to put Brady Tkachuk in yesterday. They decided against it, and now he's going to play on Thursday. What are your expectations for usage for him? Do you think they'll throw him in there and he'll play regular Brady Tkachuk minutes, or do you think they'll try to ease him in a little bit?
I don't think there's an easing in with Brady Tkachuk because I don't think he allows it. And I would have loved JR to have been in the conversation that was had about whether he played yesterday or not. Because I'll guarantee you that someone wanted to put him in the lineup yesterday. And I'm not even sure which side it's on. If I'm DJ Smith, I want him in the lineup. And if I'm management, I might be saying, hey, let's be smart here. Let's be cautious. We don't play till Thursday. Because we were preparing in the pregame show, you know, to chat about him if he's going in. And I said, well, I'm going to talk about him either way. I'm going to talk about him if he goes in. I'm going to talk about if he doesn't go in, the opportunity that Alex Formanton has taken advantage of, particularly through preseason, without him being there. And so I think once the game starts, you may have a grand plan to say, okay, we're going to limit him to 14 minutes or whatever. But I think Brady gets in the game and takes over what he does. I would expect to see the exact same type of game we see from him on an every night basis.
And hey, just a young guy, Pooley, but do you like the way it lays out a Thursday, Saturday, Monday off until Friday? And it's a couple of weeks before we see a back-to-back. So pretty good recovery for the 22-year-old.
Yeah, it really is. And even at this stage, you know, last night was what, a 18-hour turnaround? They both had 7 o'clock games the night before. They both traveled and they came back for a 5 o'clock game on Sunday. I don't think that affects young guys early in the year. And, you know, I was thinking about Shane Pinto, and, well, those guys are used to playing back-to-back in college, right? They play Friday and Saturday night every weekend. And so I don't think that's a factor that early. It does lay out really nicely. Even having this week, after, you know, 3 games to start things off with, to be off until Thursday and to let Brady get back in and practice and you know, and build some momentum up through the week, I think is really good. And as you said, the way it lays out from that point forward really suits them perfectly.
Dave, we talked earlier this morning about the Leafs having to dress a university goalie, Alex Bishop, as their backup goalie on Saturday as they ran into, well, injuries, which led to salary cap issues. Simmer and I are of the same opinion. Look, everybody knows the rules. We've been playing by these rules for 16 years. You only have yourself to blame for putting yourself in that situation. Others have advocated for the fact of, hey, look, maybe we should allow for teams facing a situation like that for there to be a little bit of an out so that we have a proper backup NHL goaltender in this case. What's your view on that entire thing?
Well, I agree with you and Simmer on the 16 years in the cap part, other than the COVID factor. And this was, you know, a COVID-related factor. And it was in Colorado as well. In Colorado, it was MacKinnon and Jack Johnson, who went into COVID protocol. And while they haven't said it here yet, it was a COVID test for Justin Hall to put them in that situation, because otherwise they would have sent Liljegren down because he doesn't need waivers and brought the goalie up. Look, you know, Brandon Pridham, the cap guy for the Leafs, knows the cap as well as anybody in the league. He helped form it with Sean McLeod and Damian Echevarrieta when he was at the league. So he knows it inside out, good and bad to that, because he knows exactly what every rule is, and the people that are making the decisions know that they can push it right to the edge. Well, they were right at the edge. Now, I don't think that this should lead to a long-term change in the cap situation right now anyway, although long-term I would believe in some sort of a luxury tax. But short-term, guys, there has to be some sort of COVID-related factor here. And you know what? And you're going to say, well, teams will abuse it. Yes, they will. But right now, today, there has to be some. Last year, there was, you know, there was a place where you could put a player on COVID protocol and it didn't affect your cap. And we've seen it twice now, this early in the season. And I really think that as much as I know they love the hard cap, that there's going to have to be at least short term some sort of margin or allowance or cushion for teams, because, you know, what happens if 4 guys go into this and they're a team that's uptight, or 5 guys? And it's not just, look, I didn't like anything about the situation on Saturday night. When I first heard about it, your first thought is, okay, well, the Leafs pushed the cap right to the limit and they basically got caught. Well, yes, they did. But it was a COVID-related situation. And that, to me, we've made so many adjustments and so many alterations in our life over the last 18 months. Short term, I think there should be a consideration of some sort.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Pooley. Is the league's view just whatever? Hey, that's your problem?
I think it was before the weekend started, Simmer. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see another line in our, you know, in our, we love Cap Friendly, and another line in that, just as we saw the contingency contract for Brady Tkachuk line develop, you know, pending contract, I think they called it. I think we'll see a new line in salary cap to do with this. And you know what? And your first concern is, okay, well, teams are going to abuse it. Well, you know what? I mean, you've got to trust that they're playing by the rules. And this wasn't about the Leafs not playing by the rules. It was that they were right up, absolutely right up against the cap. And they got pushed past it. Now, if they had chosen to play, they couldn't choose to play without a D, unless they could have sent Liljegren to the minors, but they would have played with 5D, which teams hate to do. But they could have played with 11 forwards, but it would have meant sending Michael Amadio to the minors, and he did need waivers. And they'd already lost Alex Brooks on waivers, so they didn't want to do that. So, you know, the reasons are all correct. But, guys, right now, a lot of teams are in LTIR and could find themselves in this position. It just happened to be the team that pushes the cap to the nth degree that everybody, you know, reacts to. And everybody became cap experts over the weekend. And it really was a situation that could have happened to a lot of teams.
So you're going into Montreal this week. There's not any angst at all over the 0-3 start for the Habs, right?
Oh, I think there's just a little bit, JR. And, you know, I mean, you look at early in the year, you look at teams that everyone, you know, liked going in. And Montreal is a team that a lot of people like. And they're 0-3. The Isles and the Jets are yet to win a game. And then you look at teams that, you know, everyone consensus said aren't going to make the playoffs. And there's eight of those teams that have wins early in the year. Buffalo's 2-0, Columbus is 2-0, San Jose's got a win, LA's got a win, Detroit, Anaheim, New Jersey, they've all got wins. And so, you know, the changing landscape, but wait a second, you know, when you look at a schedule, say, okay, there's eight non-playoff teams from last year in a row here. We've got to win some games. Well, those teams have all won games this year. And so Montreal is going to be tight. They haven't scored goals, guys. And their defense hasn't been bad, but they haven't scored goals. And that's what they thought they were going to be able to do more of with Caulfield, with a maturing Suzuki. Mike Hoffman hasn't been in the lineup yet, but maybe in coming into this week. And, you know, they thought that they were going to be challenged more on defense and not able to score goals, and it's been the reverse. So, sure, it's a little tight, and everything, guys, is magnified early in the year.
Yeah, especially in that market.
Absolutely. No question.
Yeah, and Pooley, give Caulfield time. Do you think people got a false sense of what Tyler Toffoli is because he scored 1,000 goals against Vancouver last year, that maybe he's not quite as good as people kind of, well, the stat line looked for last year?
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. You know, he's done it for a lot of years, Simmer. This is, you know, I mean, Tyler Toffoli scored goals in the National Hockey League, and did he get a role on a roll last year? Of course he did, and you know, he was up higher in the league in goal scoring than he's been in past years, but he scored 30 goals in the National Hockey League before. Last year was exceptional. And, you know, and this year it should be even better because of, I talked about a maturing Nick Suzuki and the fact that Caulfield on the other side should ease the pressure a little bit. But I think if you're talking about a steady goal scorer, that's what Tyler Toffoli is. He isn't, you know, one of the electric goal scorers in the National Hockey League. Last year he was probably higher than he has been in past years.
Yeah, interesting to see where it goes, because he was certainly trending really downward in L.A., and he had the big year last year. Your good friends in Philadelphia, you getting a bad feeling about what's going on with the Flyers? I know real early, but also just on Carter Hart and where that may be headed.
Well, goaltending has been the issue there forever, Simmer, forever. And I played with a couple of guys that were considered the best in the history of their, you know, organization, in both Pelle Lindbergh and Ron Hextall. But it's always been an issue. And you talk about the early magnifying glass, you know, on the league. Well, the early magnifying glass on Carter Hart is going to be extensive, because he was so good when he was, you know, when he first came into the league. And this was Hextall wanting to leave him in the American League, you know, when Ronnie Hextall got fired over this situation, essentially. And I think he's going to be fine. The goalie guys like him, Simmer. they like the way he plays, and I trust the goalie guys, you know, around that we work with and that commentate on him. So I think he's going to be okay, but there's a lot of pressure on that young man.
All right, good stuff. On that note, we'll let you go. You got the San Jose-Montreal game tomorrow?
I do.
Okay, all right. Safe travels to Montreal, and we'll talk to you, I guess, from there post-game on Wednesday morning. Thanks for the time this morning.
Okay, guys. Have a great week. Thanks.
Hey, welcome back. 8:42 here on a Monday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer. Duke Ellington will join us after 9. We'll talk about the NFL Week 6, which wraps up tonight. Bills in Tennessee to take on the Titans. A game we'll have for you pregame at 7:30 and kickoff just after 8 o'clock. So we'll talk to Duke about all the NFL stuff, some interesting results from yesterday and last night. What do you make, Simmer, of what's the rumor out of Philadelphia? It certainly got some people talking on the weekend. Claude Giroux. Al Morganti is a long, long time Philadelphia media person. I believe he works on the sports radio morning show now, but used to be a long time writer, covered the Flyers. He claims that Claude Giroux, of course, is in the final year of his contract, that Claude Giroux has said he doesn't want to be traded. But if he were, Ottawa is the only place he wants to go to. What do you make of that?
Now, what I read, JR, is that Al Morganti thinks the one place he'd like to play is Ottawa. Is that not what was presented?
So you're saying that Al Morganti is saying that? Or,
well, yeah, exactly.
Or that Claude Giroux, is hearing that Claude Giroux.
I thought Al, and if people remember back in the United States, Al was like the Bob McKenzie.
Yes.
He was on national TV forever with Gary Thorne and Bill Clement.
Now, he's probably not throwing that out, though, without hearing some whispers at some point, right?
I guess.
I mean, he's been in Philly long enough that I'm assuming, I'm talking about Claude Giroux now. That I'm assuming at some point he's talking to somebody who's talking to somebody who talks to Al Morganti.
Yeah.
And whether that was 5 years ago and he said, you know what, at the end of my career, I'd like to play for Ottawa, and he's sort of spinning it forward now.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just saying that was my interpretation, JR. I just thought that he said, hey, the one place I could see him wanting to go, and then it really just took off. And then you got into the discussion. I think it's interesting. I know Claude a little. I don't know him. I've seen him at Tony Greco's gym a few times, and my son Shane visited a few years ago. Super fella. And I kind of looked at this, take a step back. And my analysis on it, JR, first of all, I'd look at him as kind of a second line right winger. For right now, the Philadelphia Flyers aren't moving Claude Giroux unless it's a one for one of that kind of player. And by the time we get to the trade deadline, are Ottawa really going to be buyers? So I think, fast forward to next summer. Is there a dance partner? Does it make sense? Would it be a fit for the Ottawa Senators? I think there's a possibility, but I think that's as far as the story's going to go. And I just feel like Philadelphia, man, there's just something weird going on there again. And coach and goalie and chaos and not a very good hockey team, to be quite honest with you. So if they're going to do something with Claude Giroux, my guess is they try to, you know, get back a similar part to kind of be competitive right now, Jeff. So, like I said, that's my feel.
Yeah, they're not in a building for the future mode. We need and want to look at the trades they made, right? They made a trade for Ryan Ellis. They made two or three trades to bring in veteran players to try to fix whatever had gone wrong last year. We'll see how this year plays itself out. So I tend to agree that I don't really think there's much to it in the short term. And longer term, again, if we're at the trade deadline and Ottawa at that point is still contending, I don't know, I guess maybe. I would look at this as maybe an off-season thing. And even then, you know, is he the right fit? That's what you'd have to, if you're Pierre Dorion and company, you'd have to go, you know, because he is still going to command a good dollar in free agency, despite the fact that his numbers are, you know, as he's getting older, they're starting to drop off as typically they do. He's still going to get a pretty decent salary, and Ottawa's got a lot of other guys to sign here. They've signed some guys. They got some other key guys to sign. I'm talking about younger players going forward.
Yeah, and 4 years ago, 102 points, 85. Now he's just dipped below that. You know, he's not a point-of-game player. Still very good on the power play. I would say skating, he's an interesting guy because transitional speed is not his thing, but he's got a little bit of that kind of hop and dash. Very intelligent, very good on the power play, JR. And, hey, in January, he's going to be 34 years old. So at a deadline, and I don't see a Mike Fisher situation where, we're going to send you you home. But next summer, yeah, you kind of look at this and would he be willing to do something that makes some sense? And more importantly, can Ottawa kind of evaluate and would he fit in that spot? And I don't even want to say behind Batherson, but if you stuck with that line, like, would that make sense for him to play with a guy like Pinto and Stützle and move a guy like Connor Brown down? They got lots of time to decide it.
Our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. When should the Sens name Brady Tkachuk captain? I think it's pretty much a given that he's going to be the guy. He is going to play his first game, all things being equal, on Thursday against San Jose. And, of course, the last guy to be captain of the Ottawa Senators was Erik Karlsson. So you could look at it two ways.
Wow.
Some people have said, well, that would be kind of a natural, kind of a passing of the torch. Erik Karlsson is here. You know, Brady Tkachuk's playing his first game. That would seem to, and I'm not talking literally passing the torch. I'm just talking in a figurative sense. Others would say it was suggested that, well, you don't want to, I don't know. I think somebody used the term embarrass Erik Karlsson. I don't know. I wouldn't think Erik Karlsson would care one way or the other.
Do you think that on the 100 things that he's waking up with on a daily basis? That fella could not care less.
Yeah. So when should the Sens name Tkachuk captain? We've given you four options. Before Thursday's game or at Thursday's game with the Sharks. Next month, middle of next month. So he'll have a month under his belt. Brother Matthew and the Calgary Flames will visit Ottawa. Is that the right time? Is it in the new year, kind of half a season under their belts? Or should they wait another year and do it before the beginning of next season? Those are your four options. Right now, I can tell you that one of those options is a runaway leader. I think you can guess what it is. But before we get there, what are your thoughts?
Well, I want to make something very clear, because you mentioned earlier in the show that I do not think it's a big deal. What I'm trying to kind of rephrase from the captaincy, my feeling on in the Canadian markets, JR, at times it can really be detrimental to a player, so it's important to have the right fit. This guy's a dream captain, but what I'm also looking past, there's no decision or more meetings that need to be had, otherwise you would have made it Thomas Chabot. Brady Tkachuk is the captain. He is the leader. I don't want to say he's the face of the franchise, because they actually have a bunch of nice faces to look at right now. But get her done before he plays another game for the Ottawa Senators. I think it's that simple. I don't know why you'd hesitate or wait. And maybe the only positive would be if this deflects from talking about the brother matchup again when they come to town and play each other, I'm all for it. But
they're going to fight tonight.
But I would just say, you know, on Wednesday, you know, or I don't know morning skate necessarily, but hey, have a little presser if you want to have the owner there, the manager, the coach, and get her done. But I'd have it by Thursday night. Absolutely. I don't see any reason as to why you'd hesitate any further.
Hammer.
I'm going straight on next month against the Flames with a brother in town. You can get all the parents in, the grandparents. Hopefully, maybe the sister, too. Maybe finals are done or just kicking off. And have it just a good old family reunion and where Brady can enjoy it with everybody.
Okay, fair point.
That's a real good point.
Yep. I will say in the new year at some point, and whether that's in and around Christmas or just after Christmas or whatever. I think about it from the perspective of, and I agree with you 100%. Simmer, Tkachuk is the captain. We've known all along that they wanted to name him captain. But again, until the contract thing was settled, we had the owner's comments at the beginning of the summer. Nobody on a shorter-term deal or on a bridge deal is going to be captain. Well, now he's on a long-term deal. All signs point toward him getting the role. But I think at the same time, I don't want to say that you would embarrass Thomas Chabot, but I think the longer that you wait and you if you're and make it seem like this is a dilemma for you and that you want to do the right thing and you really want to think it through, et cetera, I just don't think there's any harm in waiting. So I would wait into the new year.
Yeah, and see, I'll take the complete opposite of it. Thomas Chabot knows. Everybody knows. And be honest with you, JR, one of the reasons you do this is marketing, trying to sell tickets, getting your $8 million guy out kissing babies, get him the face of the franchise. What you hope and want, and nothing against Jason Spezza, only because it was 1 year, Erik Karlsson wasn't a great captain, wasn't nearly as involved in the community as Daniel Alfredsson. I'm trying to create Daniel Alfredsson 2.0, and there's no sooner time. I got to start moving tickets, bud, and this is a big part of it. I name him before Thursday. There is no reason to hold off, like I said, and I think Brady is going to just grab a hold of this, and with this young group is going to create a lot of what the old Senators did, you know, a lot of what Mike Fisher and Neil and Phillips and Alfredsson. It wasn't just about being an Ottawa Senator. It was about being involved, and he's going to pull everybody else along with him, JR, so get her done.
I will say one thing. Whenever they do decide to do it, whether it's Thursday, whether it's next month, whether it's in the new year, whatever it is, just make sure you got enough jerseys at the Sens store with the C on it, because they'd be flying off the shelves.
Yeah, I agree.
You got a deal going. Yeah. Absolutely. People have been waiting for this. Yeah. It is important to people. I understand that. It is. There are, you know, and it has to do. And I think the average hockey fan really does take the captaincy really important.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with it or not, I think they see it as a really important role.
And
I think people are ready, willing, and more than able to accept that Brady Tkachuk is going to be the new captain.
And that's every reason why, from everybody knows he's a leader, JR, why there should be no hesitation to get her done. If you got a Tkachuk jersey already, roll in and you get a free C.
Free C.
Free C.
I like that.
From Tkachuk.
All right, the results of the voting, and over 700 votes in already this morning on this. Most people agreeing with you, Simmer. 66% of people say before Thursday. Thursday or before. Name Tkachuk the captain. 18% say next month. Versus brother Matthew and the Flames.
Yeah.
10% say in the new year, 7% start of next season. Another year before you do.
And I do feel, again, Dad in Winnipeg, not captain, or I don't think he was ever captain, JR. But I know he's going to get really involved. And this, realistically, for the Ottawa Senators in trying to rebuild your business is going to be, and there will be nobody on this hockey club that will get into the community and sell more tickets and get people more excited than Brady Tkachuk. And I'd start mobilizing that in a hurry. Now, if you want to just give him a time to get comfortable and get playing, that's fine as well. But like I said, I think this is going to go old school in a real positive way, where there felt like that was that real void there where Carlson certainly represented the team on the ice very well. Nice fella, but as I said, Alfie with the Boys and Girls Club, all those things, Chio, like all the things that really made the Sens part of the community. Brady's going to do that, and he's going to bring everyone else with him.
All right, some texts at 12-1200. Name the captain Thursday. I'll be in the stands in my Tkachuk t-shirt. My buddy will have his Tkachuk jersey, and we'll have a roll of white hockey tape ready to add the C. That's from Oliver and Russell.
Yeah.
And from Unsigned, I want to see the Sens announce the starting lineup Thursday. Nobody's standing in Brady's spot. Then Brady skates through a Paper Sense logo to the Stone Cold Steve Austin music, and the C on his sweater doing Frank the Tank as he skates to his spot with the other starters.
Yeah, take opening face-off. Hey, absolutely. Maybe
go.
Even a throwdown. Who's tough on San Jose? Anybody? I want him to grab that Balcers
tough
fella.
Tough to watch.
Grab a hold of Balcers and just pound him down.
All right, let us know what you think. When should they name Tkachuk captain? That's on our website, tsn1200.ca, our tool and equipment store web poll question for you. It's 8:54. As we continue along, we had an earlier discussion with Paul Appelese, head coach of the Red Blacks. We'll retouch on what Paul had to say. We'll talk some NFL next hour. Still to come, another code word in our Sens Jersey Monday contest, and we'll do our King of the Grill contest. Tell you what, why don't we do that next? Skill testing meat question on the way. We'll take lucky caller number 20 right now at 613-750-1200 or star 1200, a free call on Bell. Caller number 20 will come back, answer the question, and you'll be on the very short list of qualifiers for that brand new, spanking brand new beauty Traeger grill. We'll have up for grabs from Capital Barbecue. That's when we come back on TSN 1200. Testing in our King of the Grill contest, ready to go. It's Rennie. How are you doing this morning, Rennie?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm doing well.
Excellent. Good. Are you a 12-month-a-year barbecuer, or are you put it away in the fall?
Oh, I'm too much of a wuss to barbecue in the winter.
Oh, yeah. Too soft, eh? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So if you win this thing, Rennie, what do you just park it in the park it in storage and bring her out in the spring?
Bring out in April, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, if you that's be very, very patient of you to do that, because this this is a beauty that we're giving away in our King of the Grill contest. It is a Traeger Pro 575 pellet grill with all the accessories, the pellets, the rubs, the sauces. That goes to our grand prize winner in our TSN 1200 King of the Grill contest presented by Capital Barbecue. One person wins it 2 weeks from today. Rennie, you can get on the very short qualification list if you can answer our skill testing question. Are you ready to go?
Let's go.
All right. Deep breath. How well do you know your meat?
Oof. I don't know. We'll find out soon.
Okay. All right. We're going to find out. Here we go, Rennie. Here's today's question. How long should you allow barbecued meat to rest before eating? How long should you allow barbecue meat to rest before eating? You have two options. Rennie, Should you let it rest for 15 to 30 minutes? Or should you let it rest for 24 hours? 15 to 30 minutes, Rennie, or a full day, 24 hours, Rennie? What's your answer?
I'm going to go 15 to 30 minutes and not pull a Daryl.
Rennie, could you repeat your answer, please?
Yeah, 15 to 30 minutes.
15 to 30 minutes is Rennie's guess. You're absolutely right. You got it. I don't know what barbecued meat resting for 24 hours would actually taste like.
It's pretty cold, I guess.
Yeah, cold. If you started cooking it, but again, this was after it's barbecued. Probably wouldn't be that good. Probably a little gamey. Rennie, absolutely, you're right. 15 to 30 minutes is the right amount of time. So congratulations. We've got your name down on the very short list. We'll do the grand prize draw 2 weeks from today, so we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
You too. See you around. All right, there he goes. We'll do it again coming up after 10 o'clock this morning on In the Box. Another chance to qualify this afternoon on the drive, where apparently the Versage prides himself in the very, very difficult questions. Well, that's actually very difficult because a lot of people would think that.
What?
A lot of people might think that's a trick question.
You're going to let meat rest for 24 hours before eating. Marinating, maybe. I'll give you that. But
yes.
To eat? No way. Oh,
okay, well, anyway. We're not
gonna get after it.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't wait that long anyway. I could barely wait 15 minutes.
Me too.
I'm right. Going with steak for dinner tonight. Now that we have that.
And green grapes?
Just locked it in. No, I'm a little bit off the green grapes.
What?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I had so many that
what
I've decided.
Happened?
Yeah.
That and the baths. You're off the baths now.
Oh
too?
God, no. Oh, we're right into God. Bath season now.
Oh, okay.
I got to get some new salts.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, just past 9. We'll get you the latest news. Run down the scoreboard for you next hour. Duke Ellington will stop by. We'll talk some NFL as Week 6 wraps up tonight with the Bills and Titans. Some really interesting results from yesterday, so we'll talk to Duke about that. A little bit on the Red Blacks as well. We had some interesting info from Paul Appelese this morning. We'll share with Duke and with you coming up in the next segment. Another code word in our Sens Jersey Monday contest on the way before 10 as well. And more on the Sens coming off a big 3-2 win over Dallas. Next up, Erik Karlsson and the Sharks coming to town on Thursday, and that'll be Brady Tkachuk's debut with the Sens. That's all on the way in the next hour right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.